First want to go over an idea, very nice idea, something very short, relating to the Daf Yomi. Okay, the Daf Yomi, yesterday's Daf is Daf Chof Ches, and it discusses the Tachash. What is the Tachash? Tachash is a creature. The Gemara tells us the Tachash. And the Gemara has a very interesting description. Amar Rabba de Barahava, Tachash Shehoya Bimei Moshe Kamei Boilei. Tomei Hoya Oy Tohar Hoya. The Gemara has a dilemma discussing the laws of an Oihel. The question is an Oihel that is created from the leather of a non-kosher animal, does it require immersion in the mikvah and the para aduma water, the hazor para aduma water? Normally an oil that's made from wood, made from metal, mechubal karka, does not need to be dismantled and immersed in the mikvah. But an oil made from material, made from wool, linen, that was the primary discussion of the Gemara, pishtan, does require tefillah b'mikvah. The material, the oil itself, must be dismantled and immersed in the mikvah. And then the Gemara also says leather from kosher animals also requires tefillah b'mikvah. But the big dilemma was, what about leather made from non-kosher animals? And the Gemara's question in the beginning says that wants to suggest that it all depends on the Mishkan. Because everything which covered the Mishkan, there were many layers. There were three which are four layers. There was the lower layer which was linen mixed with wool, Sheish Mashar, Tcheles, Argama and Tolashani, which is wool and linen, that requires tefillah b'mikvah. Then there were the goat hairs, the layer of the goat hairs, which requires also tefillah b'mikvah. Izim, noitza shel izim, that was the middle layer. And the third layer was elim me'odamim and ortachash. So elim me'odamim are kosher animals, leather from kosher animals. But what about this thing called a tachash? Tachash also is leather, and it definitely requires tefillah b'mikvah, but we do not know if the tachash was a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. If the tachash was a non-kosher animal, then we can learn from the Mishkan that leather from non-kosher animals also requires tefillah b'mikvah. But if the tachash b'mei Moshe was a kosher animal, then we have no mikor, no source that leather from non-kosher animals requires tefillah b'mikvah when it serves as a tent over the mace. Yeah.
Have to put leather in a mikvah.
If leather is a utensil, it needs to be put in. We know you're thinking about tfilas kalim when you buy from non-Jews. Well, no, that's a different halacha. That's an entirely different halacha. That's for food preparation. I'm talking about tumas mace, tumas shuratzim, which we don't practice today. If something comes in contact with a dead body, or something comes in contact with a dead sheretz, it must be immersed in the mikvah so it should not contaminate truma and kachim and those that are noyig to conduct themselves al taras hakodesh. Bezman hazeh were all tumei mace, so this whole thing doesn't apply. We are still toivel kalim that we purchase from non-Jews. So things that we purchase from non-Jews, you only have to toivel metal and things like different categories of glass and different categories, what requires to, that's a separate thing, that's a separate halacha. There's nothing to do with tumas sheretz and tumas mace.
So this is something we don't do.
No, we do not do this today. Today we're all tumei mace. There's none as that we're all contaminated from the dead, and there's no way for us to remove the tumah. We need the water of the paraduma, and we don't have the paraduma. So going to mikvah is not going to.
The ohel. When there's a mace, whether or not the...
Let's say there's a chapel. I'll give you an example. There's a chapel. When the mace is in the chapel, the entire chapel is called an Oel HaMeis. Kohanim may not enter. If a person was living with Zman Shabbos, HaMeis HaYekayam, if a person would enter, he would become Tomei. I mean, we're all Tomei anyway today. And he would not, if he's a Kohen, he would not be allowed to eat Shuma. And if he's a Yishol, he would not be allowed to eat Kachim, because he is Tomei. Okay, we take the mace outside. The mace has been removed. Now, what about this room? Is this room still called an Oel HaMeis? So the answer is no. Basically no, because it's mechubal karka, it's attached to the ground, it's made from metal, wood, stone, and these materials when the structure is present and the mace is inside, it contains the tumah in the room. But once the mace has been removed, the tumah departs. There's no requirement for a person to get out, to go and bring a construction crew and to take apart the walls and ceiling and all different parts and immerse every single brick in the mikvah, so that a person who kohen or yisrael can walk into this room and not become tamei. That's ridiculous. But let's say it's a tent, and it's tied with strings, and the material, the ceiling is wool, or it's linen, or it's leather, kosher leather for sure. The Gemara's maskana is even non-kosher leather, from animals, from non-kosher. Then the tent remains with the status of tumah. It's tameh, and the tent itself must be dismantled and immersed in the mikvah. This is true if the tent is made from materials like linen, wool. It's true if it's made from goat hairs, and it's true if it's made from kosher leather that is taken from kosher animals. The Gemara has a dilemma. What about leather that's taken from non-kosher animals? Do we also require the owner to take it apart and immerse it in the mikvah to remove its tumah? So the Gemara says, well, the entire source for this halacha comes from the Mishkan. Everything which covered the Mishkan is called an ohel and requires tefillah b'mikvah. Question is, the tachash, which also covered the Mishkan, was that kosher or was that non-kosher? We do. That is the Gemara's dilemma. Okay, the Gemara goes on to say, describe this tachash with very interesting terms. Number one, it's called in the Targum sasgona. What is sasgona? The samach can be interchanged with the letter sin, which means there are two samachs. So the two sins together were read sas, to rejoice. To rejoice and to celebrate. Gona means color. Gavonim, gavon. Gavon means a color. This creature called the tachash, the fur, the hide, had many colors. It was very colorful. And sas means rejoice. This animal had a lot of pride. It rejoiced in the fact that it was beautiful. Its hide was filled with color, it stuck out among all the other creatures, and it was a beautiful creature. And indeed, that is why it was selected to be served as the cover for the Mishkan. We wanted to take for the cover of the Mishkan the most beautiful material available in the world. This creature was the most beautiful creature because of its multicolored hide, and it was used to cover the very top of the Mishkan. Sos Bigavonim Harbe. Rashi says it a little bit differently, not here, and the Gemara also says it. Sos umispoyer. It rejoices and takes pride in its Bigavonim Harbe, in its beautiful and many colors. Now the Gemara, the Mefarshim are very disturbed and troubled why the Gemara has to describe this creature with all these different descriptions. For example, the Gemara says the Tachash Shehoya Bimei Moshe, that existed in the time of Moshe Rabbein. Why does the Gemara have to say, relate the Tachash to the era of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Tachash that was in the Midbar. It was in the middle. All right. The Gemara says it only existed in Lefishah. It only existed at that time, the time of the Mishkan, when the Jewish people needed to make the Mishkan, they needed something, so it existed then, then it became extinct. But why does the Gemara describe the Tachash Shehoya Bimei Moshe? And then the Gemara has the dilemma, was it kosher or not kosher? L'chayre, how could it be not kosher? Lantia, Teres Hashem, Beficha, everything that was in the Mishkan, it's a given, everything in the Mishkan was kosher. There's no silk in the Mishkan, because silk comes from a silkworm, worm is not kosher. Well, there's something going on here. Furthermore, the Gemara has one horn. The Tachash was a creature who has a single horn. The Gemara says it's a Tachash that's a behema, and this Tachash was a chai, was a wild animal. Adam Harishon also offered a carbon that came from an animal that had only one horn. What's this one horn? Tomei Tohar Bimei Moshe. What is going on here? Just there, Chagav is a sefer by Rav Nosson Slifkin, Mysterious Creatures, and he suggests that the Tachash is the giraffe. Hatz is maskana, because the giraffe is a multicolored. It's has more colors than the average animal, and has a little horn on its mitzchay. And indeed, the Gemara Bava Basra says that the tachash has a small horn. The horn is lokai. The horn that it has is smitten, which seems to indicate that it has a small little bump. The giraffe fits, according to Rav Slifkin, the giraffe really fits.
Does it exist today?
I don't know. Maybe a variation of the giraffe. The Gemara says the Tachash Shoy B'mei Moshe. So it's a very beautiful idea from Rav Meir Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the one who is credited for the Daf Yomi, and he says a very beautiful drush which caught my attention. Let me begin the drush with another famous spot which he connects. The pasuk in the Torah says, "Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Nei Machim Liyira." Also, what does Hashem want from you? Hashem wants you to fear Him. This is everything. Ein loyla kadosh baruch hu bi'olamo ela yira shemayim bilvad. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. Everything that's going to happen in this world is predetermined. There's a mazel, but the person's contribution to this world is his nisyonos, and he chooses to do what's right because he has yiras shemayim. Pasuk, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomei Machim Liyira Osa. The Gemara Sakasha, the way Moshe Rabbeinu describes yiras shemayim, it sounds like it's a very small, minor little thing. What's the big deal? Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomei Mach. Just wants you to give a dollar, give 50 cents. Everyone could afford to give a quarter. Find a nickel on the street somewhere and give it to Tztaka. So the Gemara says, really? Is the Yira Shemayim a small matter? Yira Shemayim, the greatest tzaddikim struggle their whole life with Yira Shemayim. When no one's watching, when you're all alone and no one's watching, to do the right thing? How can Moshe Rabbeinu make such a statement? So the Gemara answers, yes, it is a small thing. Why? Legabe Moshe, Milsa Zutrasi. Moshe Rabbeinu, the one that's making the statement, for him it was a very small thing. And the Gemara gives a marshal to a millionaire, or not a millionaire, a person, you have something. So if you have it, it's very easy for you. A person, if you have $1 million, so $1,000 is no big deal, I have it. But if you, even $5, this is no big deal. But if you're a person that's a pauper, that's destitute, he doesn't have even $1. So $5 by him is something which is worth $1 million, which is equivalent to $1 million. So for us, we have no Yiras Shemayim. So that's right, for us, this is a major mountain. Yiras Shemayim is a very great matter. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the millionaire on Yiras Shemayim, so it's no big deal. A little Yiras Shemayim is no big deal. So for Moshe Rabbeinu to say in, Legabe Moshe Enochnami Milsa Zutrasi, that is the simple answer of the Gemara. There's a very famous, well-known Jewish, you probably have heard at some point in time, and that's how he explains this Gemara Tachash, where the Jewish goes in Legabe Moshe Milsa Zutrasi. It doesn't mean Legabe said that for Moshe. It means those in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great person. He had so much influence that his generation, the people that followed him, his greatness, it rubbed off on them. Moshe was such a great Yarei Shemayim. The people of the Dor HaMidbar, they were also Yarei Shemayim. In Legabe Moshe, in regard to the people that stood in the shadow opposite Moshe Rabbeinu, they had such a Rebbe. If we had a Rebbe like Moshe Rabbeinu, we would also be Yarei Shemayim. The problem is, we don't have Rebbeim like Moshe Rabbeinu, so we're in a lot of trouble. So for us, it's a very great matter. But for his generation, who stood in his shadow, who were able to be Nene from the Shekhinah that radiated from Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, it was taka, no big deal. That's right. Okay, that's the Vart. So now let's go step from that. That's the Hakdama to what Rav Meir Shapiro is about to say. It's a beautiful Vart. Moshe Rabbeinu was on of Mikol Adam. It's pasuk in the Torah. Lekam kemoshe. The pasuk says, "Ve'ish Moshe on of me'oid Mikol Adam Hashal Pnei Ha'adam." Moshe Rabbeinu was on of me'oid. Chazal even say, if you combine the humility of every the darg of humility that existed from the time of creation until the end of days, you combine it together into one person, Moshe Rabbeinu was greater. Ve'ish Moshe on of me'oid Mikol Ha'adam, more than the entire humanity from beginning to end. That's how humble he was. Now, could you imagine? The same way Chazal tell us in Legabi Moshe Milsa Zutrasi, just like the Talmid and Moshe, the Fals of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a small matter because they were in his presence. So the Yirah Shemayim of Moshe Rabbeinu rubbed off on them, and it was no big deal to have Yirah Shemayim. We can be certain that the same thing was true with regard to humility. The generation of Moshe Rabbeinu was a generation of humble people. There was no generation that was more humble than the generation of the Dor HaMidbar. Because why? They lived in the shadow of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was one of Me'od Mikol Ha'od Mashal Pnei Ha'adamah, and he was their leader, he was their Rebbe, his humility rubbed off on Klal Yisrael and rubbed off on the entire world. It was a generation of humility. Has to be. Right, it's the same, the parallel. Legabi Moshe, Mils Zadrasa, Legabi Moshe. Moshe was the only Mikol, the whole generation was humble. So the question now here is, what's going on then with this creature called the Tachash? Sos, it rejoices, umispoer, it prides itself, gaiva, begavonim shelo, in its beautiful colors. We have a creature that only existed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say the generation, that generation. It was Lefi Shah, the Shah of one of Moshe Rabbeinu. It lived in the shadow of Moshe Rabbeinu. It lived in the shadow of the Onov Me'od Mikol Hashem, of Ish Moshe, Onov Me'od Mikol Ol Mashal Pnei Adama. And this creature is a Baal Gaiva. Sos umispoer, it takes pride in gavonim shalom, it's beauty, look how beautiful I am. What's going on? It has to be, this animal is tamei. Tamei in the olam hadrush means it's a sinner. It's going kineged the whole kedusha and ruchnius and teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu. How could it take pride? It's beautiful. How could it take pride in its beauty? That's Gemara's kasha. It was a tamei or tar. The only solution is to say that it's not a gaiva of atzmius. There are two types of gaiva in the Musar Sfar. There's a gaiva, a person has pride in his money, he has pride in his brilliance, education, his success, his character, his charisma, his family. It's a gaiva atzmi, it's a gaiva in the gashmis and yourself and your accomplishments. And then there's a very dangerous, extremely dangerous concept called gaiva de kedusha. Gaiva means to take pride in serving Hashem. You're not ashamed. Holy, you're not ashamed.
Holier than thou.
No, not holier than thou. No. Holier than thou is the gaiva de atzmis. It's you take pride like Daniel. Like you have a person that goes among goyim. It's not embarrassed to go among goyim to show the world. I'll put on my bekesha and my shtreimel, and I'll show them who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. You take pride in sanctifying Hashem's name when everyone looks down at you. A gaiva de kedusha. The reason why I say it's very dangerous because the Balim will say once a person begins to take pride in kedusha, it very easily rubs off. Gaiva is very contagious. It rubs off on things where there should not be gaiva. Once you have gaiva de kedusha, so you could very easily get diluted. You slippery slope into the gaiva of atzmi. So that's why the Baal HaMitzvah say, don't stay far away from gaiva de kedusha. It's a double edged sword. So the answer is that this tachash sos begavonim shelo represents a gaiva that of kedusha. The colors don't represent the colors of just God. It represents the ability to serve Hashem in whatever it means, in all different situations, in all different matzavim. And the proof is it only had one horn. What is a horn? The horn, this is clear, represents gaiva. The horn is the beauty and it represents the power of the animal. A regular animal has two horns, which is symbolic of there's a gaiva de kedusha and a gaiva of atzmius of gashmius. The Karen, the animal that Adam HaRishon was makriv, the behemoth that Adam HaRishon was makriv, only had one Karen, only one horn, means that its gaiva was purely a gaiva de kedusha. It represents the idea there's no gaiva with regard to oneself. It's a gaiva of holiness, not a gaiva of gashmius. And the Gemara says the keresh was a chaya, it wasn't a carbon, it wasn't the same keresh of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was a behema, it was a keresh which was a chaya. It also had only one horn. If it had only one horn, that indicates it was like Adam, the behema of Adam HaRishon, where the gaiva as a gaiva de kedusha. So where it's sus umispoer, where it took pride in its ability to serve Hashem in its unique way, not in its ability to view itself better and more important than all other creatures in the world.
One animal also shows power because it's the male over the female.
Because it has a horn. Okay. Derech Agav, there's a medrash that says Ma Yofu Pamach Bana Olim, that from the leftover hide of the Tachash, they made shoes. The Bnei Yisrael, they took the leftover hide of the Tachash and they used it to make shoes. So why shoes? Because shoes, and that makes it fits. These things fit because it represents the Tachash, represents Gaiva de Kedusha. But the Gaiva de Kedusha has to be put in the right place. Has to be on the bottom of the person's body, not. On top. Okay, let's leave that. That's the point. That just recap this point. The point I want to make is that this idea really, when you take this idea and you insert it into the Gemara, it opens up a new meaning in the Gemara. Why did the Gemara call the Tachash Tachash Shehoya Bimei Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Onav Mikol HaAdam. There is a fundamental problem with the Tachash. Sos umispoer bigavonim shalom. Gaiva, the word mispoer is synonymous with gaiva. This gaiva is keneged Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the onav me'od mikol ha'odam asher al pnei ha'adama. How can these two be reconciled? And the answer is, from here we learn there are different types of gaiva. There's a gaiva, personal gaiva, and there's a gaiva that's used to serve Hashem. It's very, very delicate and very dangerous. That's what the Gemara wants to know. Was this gaiva a gaiva of Kedusha, a gaiva of Gashmis? The Gemara says it was a gaiva of Kedusha, and that's why, that's how we're able to, that's how these pieces fit into the Gemara. It's Rashi Parakim, but it's an idea which I did find very interesting from Rav Meir Shapiro, and I didn't want to share it with you. Now let's go to another idea. Let's now go